Yeah, it was interesting last time. Hopefully it'll be okay. Okay, so we're talking about the Sota, the Korban of the Sota. So the Ramban says on top, first he's just quoting from Rashi. But it's saying, Lo yitzuk alav shemen, right? You don't pour any oil on it. Shlo yehei korbana mihudar, her korban shouldn't be mihudar. Shashemen karu or vihi asta b'choshech. The shemen represents light, and she didn't act in darkness, but seemingly even more than that, like it represents darkness. V'lo yitain alei levona, levona, art school translation? Frankincense. Has anybody ever seen frankincense? I don't know. Apparently it smells good. V'leitin alav livona, sha'imaot kriyot livona, sh'nemar, it says in Shir Shirim, al giva'at ha'livona, which I guess if you see in the context, represents the imaot. V'zu pirsha midarchen, and she veered from their ways, so you can't put livona. Ki milchas kena oshu, this milcha offering is one of jealousy. Hakema chazeh meoreres ba shtei kena os, kinas hamakom, kinas habal. That this offering arouses the, I don't know if jealousy is exactly the right word, but a certain anger, a certain jealousy between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and this woman, and between the husband and this woman. Lashon Rashi midevrei Rabbos.
Zealotry,
but a certain negative connotation here. Aldas kol ha'mefarshim, adkan the Rashi, adkan the Medrash. Aldas kol ha'mefarshim ki minchas kena oshu. The idea of this offering of zealousy, of jealousy. Lomar ba'avur shezos ha'mincha minchas oneshi. This offering, it's not to bring kapara, and it's not as a offering, you know, as some sort of ola, some sort of shlamim, but it's language she has to bring as a result of her chait. It's some sort of punishment. He grew al lios seorim below shemen ulevona. Has everything about it is degraded, as it were, is on a lower level. It's brought from barley, not from wheat. There's no oil, and there's no spices. Ki amincha asher azkar asad l'raton l'Hashem. If you want to have an offering, that's supposed to kaviyachol, to be a positive reminder to Hashem. It'll have all these the other features. Well, if he died, in my opinion, says the Ramban, Tam ki minchas kena oshu, yachsar el arosha pasuk. It's going back to the beginning of the pasuk. Yomar sheyavi ha'ish esakorban al ishto. Kolomar bimkoma. The reason, it actually says the Ramban, this offering, I don't know if it's a chiddush the Ramban, but I have to check the footnotes. This offering is an offering the husband himself brings. Ki minchas kena osi, and that's why it's describing now, when the husband brings it, it won't be shema, it won't be levona, it will be seorim, and there because it's his mincha of his own jealousy. Laskir avona, he's angry at her. Ve'inenu ra'ui shetavi enu ki mishala. It's not fitting she should bring this offering because he's upset at her. Avu yakriv mincha l'ashem, she kanei es kena. So he's bringing this offering to Hashem to ki'ilu da'avin or to request that Hashem should take vengeance. Ve'inkomes nikmaso mimena. Wow. Okay, pretty harif. Ve'tam ha'se'orim, the reason why se'orim, shetia se'aras chimas Hashem chama yotz'ah Sa'ar mischolel al rosh harisha yachul. Must be a pasuk, no, Kiva? Must be referencing sort of pasuk. Yeah, we're in near Miyahu, okay? So se'orin, we're switching the sin with the samach. Se'orim of barley and sa'ara being storms, meaning to say it should arouse the anger of Hashem upon her. Uch'inin tzlil se'orim hamor begidon shepatru oso l'sa'ar umhumah rabba. I don't remember the exact details, but saying there was some sort of dream that involved barley, and the barley was representing some sort of battle and war, and even though in the dream it was the person saw se'orim, it represented sa'ara. Okay. Bechein bekliheres, it's offered in this earthenware kli. Siman shtishaber ki kli yotzer. It represents the fact she's going to break like this pottery, assuming she's guilty. Bechein ha'afar, and also it's mixed in, dirt is mixed in. Ki afar hi ve'el afar tashuv. She is dust, and she's going to return to dust. V'tam hu ala kemach, this is now al pi kabbalah, but I don't understand what it's saying, so we'll just stop here. Okay, maybe we'll skip the continuation of the Ramban, at least for now. But I want to talk a little bit about this last part of the Ramban. It says, V'chein ha'afar ki afar hi ve'al afar tashuv. What's interesting is that, as opposed to seemingly everything else on the list here, there's nothing unique about her situation about afar. I mean, everybody is afar hu ve'al afar tashuv. Meaning it's all human beings. If you want to say, Kli cheres, siman shetishaver ki kli yotzer, she should be broken. That's about punishment. Se'orim, because it should be a se'ara and chema, it should be anger upon her. That's because she deserves a punishment. But we put in dirt because afarhi ve'alafar tashuv, she's dust and she'll return to dust. There's something unique about her situation. What's the Ramban getting at? So I think in order to understand what the Ramban means here, you have to go all the way to the beginning of the Torah. And on the sheet here, the Ramban we have on the sheet. So see what the Ramban says here. I think I think I don't know if this is a stretch, but it could be this is exactly what the Ramban has in mind. So the Ramban says here, right, by Adam and Chav and Gan Eden, it says b'yom achlacham yemenu mot tamut. If you eat from the Eitz Hadas, so then you will die. Says the Ramban over there at the bottom of the sheet. Be'isha tochal yemenu tia ben maves. If somebody eats from it, he will be somebody who could die. He'll be somebody who's liable to die. Meaning, not that he's going to die that moment. It didn't happen. Adam and Chava did not die. But they eventually died. I don't know the context. Okay. Meaning to say, not that somebody, maybe by Yericho? No. Later. Meaning to say that you're going to die. Doesn't mean you're going to die immediately. Also doesn't mean you know you're going to die. People know they're going to die. Once you leave from Malachim, and once you eat this fruit, you're somebody who's worthy, who's liable to be killed as a punishment. When he decides it's time for you to die, he'll kill you. Like it says, you should not come, right? The Levim shouldn't come as the Kodesh is being covered up, lest they die. I think by Truma. They will die because of the sin, but lav dafka at that moment. Okay, so now the Ramban is going to explain what he's talking about. The Ramban in several places quotes Greek philosophers and scientists. This is what he's talking about here. Based on the scientists, the men of nature, even when man was originally created, he certainly was going to die because he is a compound of different things. Anything that's made up of different what do you say, elements. So eventually those things will break down and he'll die. So what does it mean you're going to die? He already was going to die. And especially according to the Ramban, he wasn't going to die that day. So anyway, he was going to die eventually. It means you're going to die in because of the sin, and you're going to die early or something like that. Goes Aruch Truma, Shlui Yain, etc. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm skipping just a line. Ulekach Amar Beonish. Therefore, it says about the punishment. Ad Shuvcha El Ha'Adama, until you return to the land. Ki Mimena Lukachta Ki Afarata Bialafarata Shuv Bitiv Acha. That's why, according to this shita, the reason it says that you will return to the dust when Adam was created, it was because that was part of the nature from the beginning. He was always supposed to die. And when it says here, you will die, it means you're going to die because of the sin, presumably early or something like that. Until that point, he was also eating, so he was absorbing, and he was giving, and he was excreting, and he was made up of elements, he was going to die. However, that's according to the scientists. But according to Chazal, if not for the sin, he would never have died. When it says in our, not in our pasuk, it's in Bereishis, but "Biyom ach lacham yemenu mot tamus," you will die. It means literally, until that point, you wouldn't have died. This upper neshama, this chelek elokam imal, this infinite entity of the neshama, would have caused the body to live forever. And this desire that Hashem put in him, that this neshama should be within him, in theory could have let him live forever. Earlier, fine. So we don't accept this opinion of the scientists, says the Ramban. The fact that man is a hybrid, man is made up of different elements, does not mean he has to be broken down and die. I don't know what that means, meaning creation is a positive. I don't know exactly what that means. But it means he doesn't have to die. Anshei ha'emuna, or as opposed to anshei ha'teva, for those who live in their faith, ha'omrim ki ha'olam michudash v'chevetz eloki pashut, just like we believe that the world is not eternal, like the scientists had believed, but it's always continuously created by Hashem. Gam ha'kiyum yebo la'ad, as long as Hashem wants, he can make the body also be continuously living forever. Koy mechevetz ze emes ubar. The Ramban says, im kein, if that's true, when it says, when you eat from it, you will die, take it at face value, until that point you wouldn't have died. And then because you went against the will of God, you'll die. My desire will not be to keep you living forever. Initially, the idea of eating was, he says oneg here, but I think he means it was a different kind of experience. It was more of a spiritual experience, the idea of eating. It could very well be that the idea of eating in Gan Eden is like eating in terms of the man, meaning, and I think we saw the Ramban about man a couple months ago, but the idea that man itself is some sort of spiritual entity. So it's a spiritual kind of existence then. And then when he was told, no, you're going to have to eat from the grass. You're going to have to work the field and eat from the fields. We'll eat from the dirt, from the Adama. That caused man to then be somebody who could die. Because he is dust, and he will eat food from the dust, and he will return to the dust. What's the Ramban? He's talking poetically, a little bit cryptically here. I think what the Ramban's getting at, I think this will become clear in the next Ramban, which we don't have that much time to read. But I think what was clear from the Ramban is that man's existence pre-chet, even though it was physical, but it was physical where everything was sustained spiritually. Meaning, somehow he was this hybrid of in the physical universe with a spiritual neshama, but all of his existence was completely spiritual. Even his eating was a spiritual act, so therefore that sustained his body. It was like, if you had the scale between physical and spiritual, the spiritual certainly was much heavier, was much more powerful, and that was able to keep him living forever. When the nature of his eating changed as punishment, that's really representative of the nature of his living changed. He became much more living in the physical. And he was eating food not from the eights of Gan Eden, which represents the man, which represents spirituality. He was eating from the dust. He was eating from things that grew in the ground, which represents physicality. And therefore, when he's being weighed towards the side of physicality, so that side of him is liable, as a scientist say, to be broken down and die. And therefore, he was somebody who's able to die. But again, we have this idea. What's the Ramban saying here? It says, ki afarhu ve'afar yochav ve'afar yeshuv, similar to what the Ramban is saying now, v'chein ha'afar by the added to the korban of the sota, ki afarhi ve'afar tashuv. I would highlight what the Ramban is getting at when we see this next Ramban very quickly. The next Ramban is, v'yomer elokim na'aseh adam. Hashem says, let us make man. What's that? Famous Ramban. Right? Nisiyachet ba'asiyas adam ma'amar. Okay. Va'pshad hanachon b'mila na'aseh. We'll read the second paragraph. What does it mean na'aseh? We. Who's the we? Who's the we? Says the Ramban. If nei shekfar her eis haladas. I already told you earlier. Very interesting Ramban in and of itself. Ki elokim bara yesh me'ayin v'yom harishon levado. The only act of literal creation was at the beginning of creation. Everything else was forming that matter into different forms. The only actual creation of Yesh Me'ayin was at the initial stage. Afterwards, from all those elements, Hashem made all sorts of different things. Everything, the water brought forth the fish, and the earth brought forth the animals. Amar ba'adam na'asa. Now what God is saying, but man, let us make. Hilomar, ani v'ha'aretz, haneskeres, na'asa'adam. Me and the land, me and creation. Shetotzi ha'aretz haguf mi yisodea kasher asa bebehema uvechaya. Just like the land brought forth animals and all sorts of creatures, so too that land is going to be bringing forth man. Kirsi va'yitzer Hashem Elokim es ha'adam afar min ha'adamah va'yitin hu yisparach haruach v'pi elyon va'yipach v'apam nishmas chayim. So man himself is this hybrid of being brought from the earth, of na'aseh from the land, and also Hashem's ruach chayim. Okay, v'amar b'tzalmenu kidmusin is going to be in our form. R is also in plural. Ki yidmeh l'shnehem. His essence is really similar to both. V'maskones gufo la'aretz. His physical form is from the land. It's physical. Asher lukach imena. V'yidmeh b'ruach le'elyonim. But in spirituality, it could be like the upper worlds, upper beings. Sheda gufo lo tamus. Okay. We don't have time to really go into this Ramban and elaborate on this Ramban. But I think what you could say, putting all these Rambans together, is that man, by his nature, is, in essence, I don't know if you call it a stira, but he's two opposite ideas. He's both physicality and he's also spirituality. And the idea of ki afar ata bi'alafar tashuv means to say that we have been weighed down on our physical side because of chet. Meaning to say we are now going to be living in this world not in this intensely spiritual way. If we were doing that, we could have, in theory, lived forever. We're going to be living in this physical world by getting our nutrition, our nourishment from the ground. You can say that also is literal, but also figurative in terms of being sustained in the physical sense. We're going to be physical creatures who also have a spiritual side, as opposed to being spiritual creatures who also have a little bit of a physical side to us. That was a fundamental change when we did chet. And maybe what the Ramban is saying here about the sota, v'chein ha'afar ki afarhi ve'alafar tashuv, meaning to say that we, of course, everybody eats food from the ground. Nobody's eating mud and nobody's eating fruits from Gan Eden. But we can choose what kind of life we live. Is our life weighed down as much as possible more to our spiritual side, or is our life weighed down more to the physical side? And the idea of the sota, ki afarhi v'alafar tashuv, we're putting dirt in her drink to represent the idea that she, through her choices, has chosen to be on the physical side of things. She's chosen the wrong choices in her life. And also the idea of, which I didn't read, in Yod Ches, the idea that the Ramban says, what do you mean, mei hamarim hamarim, this bitter, cursed water? So the Ramban says the water itself wasn't bitter. The water was water, but it depends. If she was guilty, it became bitter. And if it wasn't, it would be sweet. I think that can also be also symbolic of this idea. The water itself is dirt, and it's also Shem Hashem. That's what she's drinking. So if she was able to, if she really, the husband misunderstood, there's a misunderstanding, she had made the right choices, her life was more on the Shem Hashem side, so then it'll be fine. But if her life weighed more towards the dirt side of existence, the physical side of existence, then it will be bitter to her. Also, there's so much more to maybe try to develop here, but it's interesting, if you think about the Parsha, it's kind of random. We have all the counts of the Levim, and then we're, you know, and their different responsibilities. We have this general, short little Parsha about the idea of somebody, if he sins, he should bring a korban, and then we talk about the Omim Tovim. In the middle of the Parsha, we have the Sota and the Nazir. Like, what's it doing? Why are they here? We saw last week that the Ramban says the whole theme of Bamidbar is the idea of living with the Mishkan in our presence, literally, but also spiritually. We're living a life with the Mishkan in the center. So it could be that the Sota and the Nazir represent these two, right, Nase Adam, right, the two aspects of who we could be if we make the right choices or the wrong choices. You could be a Nazir, which the Ramban Lashitasa thinks is like the pinnacle of existence, who's weighed very heavily on the spiritual side. Or one could be the Sota, who's weighed very heavily on the physical side. It could be the idea of the Sota and the Nazir represent these two ways of life, and we're Becharta Bachaim, which is to choose the right way. I feel like there's more to elaborate on, but it could be that's what's going on with the Sota according to the Ramban. That the idea of the Afar, it's really not unique to, or it is unique in some way to her. It's not universal to everybody, Ki Afar Atav Al Afar, even though it is, but she, through her choices, showed us that that's who she truly is. Some of us, even though it's true, we have to eat food from the earth, and we have to live a physical existence, but if we try to do that in a way which is yearning for spirituality, so even that can become something which is not dirt and not physical. Okay, Adkan.